The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. We have the privilege, since we live in a new place, to drive to be within walking distance of a church that calls itself the Full Gospel Seventh-day Baptist Church. Yesterday, as I drove by, I saw them gathered there, and my heart went out to them because I knew today was Resurrection Sunday. They were there worshiping on Saturday, and I wondered what Jesus they worship. As we left this morning, I noticed our vehicles there again. So apparently they decided that they should have special commemoration for today. I'll let that as it is. It's something to ponder about. And I think it connects to the message this morning, even though I don't plan to preach specifically on the resurrection. Message title this morning is called The Rock of Offense. This message is born out of a phrase from Luke 7 that I came across in my personal devotions a little while back. You may turn your Bibles to Luke 7. I believe next to Christmas, or perhaps greater than Christmas, the pews are filled this morning in the churches across our country. And yet perhaps this message that I will be preaching explains why they're emptier the rest of the year. I'd like to begin in verse 16 of Luke 7. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to preach unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, being not baptized with him. So read across that portion, verse 23 caught my eye, and I've been pondering it. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. When John's disciples came asking Jesus if he were the one they were waiting for, should they look for another, it doesn't appear that Jesus answered them promptly. Instead, he allowed them to observe him as he was in his ministry. And after they had observed what he did, he gave them this message to give to John. And he concludes with, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. As I thought about that, I thought, was it possible that John could be offended by Jesus? Was it possible that John could be offended by Jesus? That is the suggestion here in verse 23. Jesus says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Could John be offended by the one that he prepared the way for? I think it is. It was possible. And so my thought went, if it was possible for John to be offended, is it possible for me to be offended? Is it possible for us to be offended? We want to look at that this morning. The word offended comes from the Greek word scandalon, which we get the word scandal from. Scandalized. And it means to entrap, to trip up, figuratively to stumble, or entice to sin, apostasy, or displeasure, make to offend. And Jesus says, blessed are ye if you're not offended by me. How can we become offended at Jesus? The title for the message is The Rock of Offense. And that's a term out of Isaiah, and we will look at that a little bit later. How can we become offended by Jesus? How could John, how was there the possibility that John could be offended by Jesus? My first point this morning is we can become offended when we discover Jesus is someone different than we think he is. When Jesus lived on earth, there was only one way that he could live. And that was to live out the Father. There's only one way that Jesus could live, and that was to live out the Father. He told Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that was how Jesus lived. He lived out the Father. People had many different conceptions of who the Messiah would be when he came. And many people were offended because Jesus did not fit in the box they had of who he should be. You see, the world did not know who Jesus was until Jesus came. Very simple thought, but it's very true. The world did not know who Jesus was until he came. When Jesus came, he could only come as Jesus. He could not come and live as someone else. He could only come as Jesus. And since he was Jesus, he was a defined person. And since he was a defined person, we can understand God much better because we can understand God through the man Christ Jesus. Since he was a defined person, he could only live out his responses in life as God. He had no other option. And he knew that. And he also knew that the way to the Father was exclusive. There was no other way to the Father but by him. And simply by being Jesus gave the possibility that many could be offended, even the man who prepared the way for him. Jesus is the one that knows how exclusive that way is. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is very polarizing. He is, he was, and he will be. John had an understanding of who Jesus was, and yet Jesus was different than John. So often in life, we look through life through our own glasses, we say. And I believe John perhaps did the same. John was a preacher of repentance. He was a prophet. He was aloof from society, a social misfit. He was warning men to flee the wrath of God, making straight the path before Jesus. Perhaps he was labeled a fire and brimstone preacher. Jesus comes preaching the kingdom, but he isn't calling fire down from heaven. He's healing the blind and lame. He's feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000. He's doing good to the people. He's teaching them. Meanwhile, John ends up in prison because he rebuked King Herod's sin. And as he rots in prison, as we would say, he's thinking. He knew that he must decrease and Jesus would increase, but this way? So inglorious as to suffer in prison? Why didn't Jesus free him from prison? If you turn back a page to Luke 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the accepted year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And here in Luke 7, John is in prison. Where is the liberty? Where is the freedom? Perhaps we can think along those thoughts and see why John may have become disillusioned. "Are ye whom we seek, or seek, or we look we for another?" Jesus says, "Go tell John what you have seen, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." If John became offended at Jesus, what other options would he have? If Keith becomes offended at Jesus, what other options do I have? If you become offended at Jesus, what other options do you have? None. Jesus knows that. And Jesus is very offensive. "Go tell John what you've seen, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Do you mean I can become offended with Jesus? Offended by Jesus when I've preached in preparation for his coming? Can I become offended at Jesus growing up, hearing about him from little up? We can. We can. And that can happen when Jesus is different. We discover that Jesus is different than we think he is. And I'm not saying this in a scary way. I'm just saying that in our minds, we'll look at this perhaps later on. In our minds, we can develop who we think Jesus is. And when that is worked out in our life, it can look different than that. And we can become disillusioned. We can become offended by that. It is important that we are students of Jesus. We must worship Jesus so that our hearts stay soft toward him and we're not offended by him. If we aren't students of him, our minds will fabricate a Jesus that we believe in who is not real. And when we learn who the real is, it can offend us. We deal with limitations of being people. That is the limitation Ezekiel had this morning, describing heavenly things with in a earthly connotation. And that's a frustration I have here this morning. But I'm going to draw a line to describe, and this line is who Jesus is. Jesus was only as the Father was. And so when he came to this world, he could only live as the Father was. We are all over the board.
I don't know a line that would describe us
well, but perhaps a zigzag. Whereas Jesus' line is straight. And if I'm not willing, if I allow Jesus' life, if I allow Jesus to offend me, then there are the other option is eternal damnation. And Jesus has that ability to offend us because his line is straight and mine is zigzagged. Number two, we become offended when Jesus responds differently than we think he should. Turn your Bibles to Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they had sung in hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the clock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Go down to verse 50. And they were all offended. And they all forsook him and fled. We can become offended at Jesus when he responds differently than we think he should. Jesus didn't respond here as the disciples thought he should. Instead of resisting them when they came to arrest him, he surrendered. Instead of hurting the soldiers, he healed the one's ear. I'm sure they thought this wasn't the time to surrender. This was the time to inaugurate the new kingdom. This was the time for pomp and glory. This was the time for great things to happen. This was the time to announce that Jesus was the Son of God. But that isn't what happened, and yet that is what happened. In a greater way than they could imagine. But it offended them, and they all forsook him and fled. And so my point is, we can become offended when Jesus responds differently than we think he should. And even though we have all of the scriptures with us here this morning, and we understand the kingdom that Jesus brought to this world, and we live in it, we teach it, we preach it, and yet there are times where we think the kingdom should work out a certain way, and it doesn't. And we can become offended at that. And you hear people referencing this in their lives, especially someone who has been offended and has not found their way back. They will reference the time where they were offended. And it could be something like, I lost out when my grandmother died of cancer. And I lost my way then. Or when my marriage fell apart. You fill in the blanks, whatever it is. It was a time in life where the call of Jesus, the way of Jesus, was an offense to them. Often we think of it the other way. We think of it that the world drew us away, or that sin caused us to stumble. And we can look at it that way. But the other side of that coin is that Jesus is Jesus. And because of who he is, we are offended at that and go the other way. You see, whether we admit it or not, I believe each one of us have a scoreboard that we want to hold Jesus to. And when his way is different than ours, I become offended at him. And then we say things like, how can God be God if he allowed this? Or how can the God I believe in wouldn't do this? Or how can all of those Christians be killed by the Al-Shabaab if God is God? And we can take it much closer home than that. to hard things that happen to us right here. A child that dies, or terminal sickness, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's smaller things than that. Maybe our little world fell apart, our job crumbled, or a relationship that we trusted in, we were defrauded by. And Jesus' way offends us. Number three, we become offended when life goes the opposite that we think it should. And this is similar to the last one. But turn to John 16. Jesus understood this was a very real possibility for his disciples. And so he taught them this. Verse 1 of John 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way with him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus knew that a shock was coming to his disciples, because what they perceived in the future, the total opposite was going to happen. Instead of grand and glorious positions next to him, two of the disciples' mother specifically asked that he would have their special positions. Instead of all of this, they would have the opposite, and they would be killed. Many of them would be killed, and they'd be treated horribly. And he warned them of that, because this can cause offense in our lives. And so we can become offended when life goes the opposite we think it should. You see, I expect much out of life. And I imagine I'm speaking for the rest of you as well. Compared to the majority of the world, I expect a lot. I expect to have my own home. I expect to have a family. I expect to have a house. I expect to have a good paying job, maybe even own a business. Expect to have a couple nice vehicles, part of a good church, have good schooling for my children. The list goes on and on and on. Many people in this world expect very little. They expect to be homeless. They expect to be hungry. They expect to have to beg, and we could develop that on and on. And my point is this, is as a group of people sitting here, we have very high expectations for our life. And when those expectations don't always work out, we become offended. Number four, Jesus offends me when something else is filling the throne room of my heart. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 18, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And we could make a point out of riches from this passage, but I don't think that is the point. The point is it is extremely difficult for us to keep Jesus in the throne room of our heart, and it is so easy for us to replace him with something else. And when Jesus calls us, when the straight line calls the jagged line to allow Jesus to be straight in our life, it so easily offends us, and we become sorrowful. And giving up these things that have taken, giving up people or things or whatever it is that's taken up that room in our heart becomes a trigger point for being offensive. Think of Job and the loss that he endured. You see, Job could have said, as each servant came to him, I'll serve God as long as they don't take my camels yet. I'll serve God as long as they don't take my sheep. I'll serve God as long as they don't take my children. But he didn't do that. But I find in my own life, and I hear this in others, that there are trigger points that we allow God to work so far in our life, and then we say, this is it. I'll go so far with you, Jesus, as long as it doesn't affect, and you fill in the blank. As long as I'm allowed to, as long as it doesn't touch, as long as it doesn't make me do this, and that's where we want to stop. And you wonder, you look across the landscape of people, friends, family, acquaintances, and you wonder what goes on in their life. And I wonder how much this doesn't play into it, and how much it plays into my own life. And so we can have bitter old men. We can have people who want to sit on a church bench and do nothing else. We can have, you fill in the blank about yourself and ask yourself, why do I have the right to say to Jesus, I'll go this far? The rock of offense. Turn back to Isaiah 8, where Jesus was prophesied as that. Begin in verse 13. This passage earlier on in verse 8, it references, O Emmanuel. Verse 13, it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken up. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. It is interesting, in the same, like in verse 14, it references Jesus as being a sanctuary, but on the flip side, it references him as being a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and it describes him as a gin and a snare. A gin, from what I understand, is like a sieve. And the picture is that the sieve will catch you, or the snare will catch you. It will cause you trouble. But he has a sanctuary. Turn to Romans 9. Conclusion of that past of that chapter, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's go to 1 Peter. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Jesus is called this, a rock of offense, a rock that causes us to stumble. But on the other side of the picture from what I have been talking about, Jesus must offend us. It's imperative. If Jesus doesn't offend us, then I don't think we know him. But it is important that what happens after that offense takes place. We can harden our heart and walk away from him, or we can do the opposite. We become offended at Jesus when we refuse to embrace him as Jesus. He is the rock. He can be the rock of salvation or the rock of offense. Picture with me if you're in a ship that's sinking and you're being blown by the wind. You're headed across the open water, and ahead of you is a huge rock. The ship crashes into the rock. The ship scatters, or the ship is shattered, and you jump onto the rock. The rock is your salvation. It has saved you because the ship was sinking anyway. The other option you have is that when the ship hits the rock and shatters, you can be bitter about it. You can go down cursing and swearing and drown. That is the rock of offense. It's the rock of Jesus. I can clamber onto that rock and find salvation, or I can hate the rock for destroying my ship that was sinking anyway and drown. Jesus is the only solution that works. And it's the only solution that makes sense. There are other solutions out here. People are trying them. There's probably more solutions thought up by now than ever have been. But they don't work. They aren't the truth. And am I a fool to trust in myself? Already at the age of 32, I can tell that I have not drank from the fountain of youth. So why would I trust in myself? Am I going to deny the reality all around me and say that God doesn't exist and try the atheistic route? Or am I going to become bitter at God and die self-righteously because he didn't fill out my scorecard like he should have? My call this morning is for us to sanctify our hearts and fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, and be broken, so that the rock does not fall on us and ground us to powder. And just as Jesus told John, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, thank you that you sent your precious Son into this world. Thank you that in these last days you revealed yourself through him. And Father, it behooves us this morning that as we find our life zigzagging across, that we would allow you to become a rock of offense to us. And that while that offense happens, that we would realize that you are our salvation and cling to you. Father, our lives are before us. We know not, but you may come yet today. Yet before I finish this prayer, but oh Father, if you tarry because of your long suffering, I pray that you would help us to be faithful. And I pray that no matter what winds blow at us, No matter what valleys are in our footpath, that we would walk closer to you. But Father, you know what transpires in the individual lives of ours this morning. You know what we walked through this past week, the frustrations, the challenges. You know what opportunities were there for us to trip on and those that we did trip on. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be soft once again before you. And that while we worship you as the God of resurrection, we would also remember that first you're a God of offense, rock of offense. And that as your truth offends us and convicts us, that we would capitulate to you. Father, keep our hearts soft so that we can hear when you speak expressly to us through your word, through your spirit, and through our brothers and sisters. But Father, keep us faithful. I pray that we would have a burden for those around us, those within these walls, our young ones, those that are growing up, our older ones, those of us in the middle of life. I pray that we'd also have a burden anew for our neighbors, the ones that we meet at work, the ones we do business with. But Father, give us a heart of compassion as you have. And I pray that we would not be offended by you, but instead embrace you this morning because you are who you are. I pray in Jesus' name.